Well, we lost Larry. I think I'm going to blame that one on the call screener. Probably
a
technical error behind, but we do have a couple calls in the process of screening. Let's address Larry's question real quick, because you had mentioned time to fertilize citrus.
Yes, sir.
And he was calling in with a dying grapefruit. Is it really dying? It's probably just...
Well, it could be. I mean, there's a lot of people living in areas that have very old citrus trees by now. You know, there's some of these trees, depending on where he lives, and, you know, some parts of Scottsdale and Phoenix and Mesa that were old citrus orchards that then were developed into residential development. You know, those trees could very well be, you know, 60, 70, 80 years old. And they are dying. I mean, I guess we're all dying, you know, when we start, you know, so those trees have been going downhill a long time and it could well be dying. And sometimes there's just not much you can do. There's other things that can affect citrus trees that they generally are pretty pest-free and problem-free until they get old and mature and they are actually starting to decline anyway. And that's when we start seeing things like gamosis and root rots and different problems start manifesting themselves because the trees have been weakened by age or stress or improper pruning or care over the years. So depending on the extent of the damage and the age of the tree, you know, it may or may not be worth, you know, treating. Sometimes the best practice is to actually plant a new one, you know, take it out and plant a new one. We can spend an awful lot of time and money, and really the big problem is time. So it takes even a pretty mature citrus tree a couple of years to start producing fruit. So if you monkey around trying to doctor something back to health for 2 or 3 years, if you'd have planted a new tree, you'd start having fruit by that time. You could have been back in the production mode. So it really is one of those things you have to evaluate the age and the scope of the problem with a tree to really determine what the best course of action might be.
When to cut your losses, huh?
Right.
Now,
literally cut.
Call
Rosie, he'd
cut.
Be happy to come out with his chainsaw.
And you have another guest from the Japanese Garden. Would you like to introduce her?
I would. I have Miss Della. She's the curator of the Japanese Friendship Garden, and she's a master gardener. Heart and soul, I think, goes into this piece. How big is the, how many acres do y'all have?
Three and a half acres.
Good morning. Good morning. So nice for you to join us this morning.
Thank you.
You and I on the phone the other day gave me a lovely little walk through the garden. You want to just explain the different...
Before we get to that,
okay.
Our call screener says, take him now, comment on Jeep Garden. But I think he's trying to tell me to take this call now. It sounds like somebody's calling it with comments.
Look at Rosie's blushing. Did you know he could do that?
Tim, good morning.
Hi. Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hey, this is Tim in Phoenix. And yeah, just wanted to mention that I have visited the Friendship Garden in downtown Phoenix right there. And it's real close to the Central Library. So you can head down there with your kids, hit the Central Library. They have the little rent-a-bikes or shared bikes right there on Central Avenue. I don't think you can take the bikes into the garden, but you can ride around downtown. And there's also the Irish Cultural Center nearby. So, and of course, you've got the big, huge park there. I think it's called Margaret Hance Park, real close by. So there's a lot to do there right in that little area right there. And of course, the Friendship Garden's pretty nice with the koi pond and the waterfall and everything.
All right. Well,
very good. Thank you for that.
You got a testimony this morning. Isn't that great? So, Della, go ahead and tell us what it looks like to walk in. There's a certain way you go through the garden, and it represents different terrain, and it's very charming.
Sure. So our garden was designed by Mr. Okita, and we want to keep to that design as much as possible so that people have an authentic Japanese garden experience when they come to see us. So as you walk through the garden, you're going to see a grasslands area with a view of our magnificent pond with some water lilies. Continuing, it's a strolling garden, so the garden reveals itself slowly to you. As you continue through the garden, you're going to come to a wooded area. You'll see our specimen pines, which have been carefully pruned by our skilled volunteers in a special Japanese pruning style.
And you told me no power tools used,
correct,
all done by hand.
Yeah, that's one of the magnificent things about this garden is the enormous detail in handmade, hand pruning. They really know how to recycle material. So you continue on, you see the tea house, which is kind of secret garden behind bamboo. And then you'll hear our little gurgling stream. You could be, you know, in Prescott, but yet you're in the middle of downtown Phoenix. You continue on to passing our bamboo forest and our flowering fruit trees on the left, which are kind of iconic plants for the Japanese garden. And you come into our mountain area, and then you hear the waterfall. We have a very nice waterfall. Continuing on through that mountain area, you'll come to our stone beach, which is, again, a typical feature of Japanese garden. And on past our two bridges, we have two very special bridges in the garden. So that's a very quick run-through of the garden.
It is a run-through. But I tell you, when you go, it's not a run-through experience. It's a very relaxed, kind of a mellowing, wonderful experience, and very true to the culture.